Thank you, Lord, that you do. That you really do. Sit beside us as we look into your word. Lead us into truth as you promise through your Spirit. Bless us to be about these things and love you for them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I want to pray for a moment for Jim and for Jill. I just pray again, Father, your hand and your strength there. Thank you, Father, that Jim has finished his chemo. And for Jill's faithfulness and love for her husband so clear. Just ask your strength for them. Your hand to hold them up and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've ever been to Edinburgh, Scotland, there's a place there called Candlemaker Row. And there on the corner is a small bronze statue of a dog named Greyfriars Bobby. And the story is that his owner, John Grey, a policeman, had a terrier named Bobby who would walk his beat with him. But when Grey died and was buried in the Greyfriars Kirkyard, Bobby stayed there. He didn't leave. And terriers tend to live a long time. And Bobby actually kept his vigil for 14 more years, while caring people around him would feed him. And the plaque on his statue reads, "Let his loyalty and devotion be a lesson to us all." Now, of course, just as there are Grinches and humbugs at Christmas, some say the story isn't true, that someone at the churchyard lured a dog to the graveside and kept putting food there. But the dog wasn't chained up. And a dog won't just stay someplace because it's cold or because there's food, excuse me. Some say that when Bobby died, he was replaced with another dog to keep local businesses going. Ah, humbug. It gets cold in Edinburgh. Well, why would a dog hang around under those circumstances? Common sense says that Bobby was the real deal. Think about it. Stories of faithful dogs abound. Accounts of their staying near their beloved owners no matter what. Sometimes for years after they're gone. Like Hachiko in Japan, Hachi for short, or Shep in Montana, or Fido in Italy, Fido means faithful. There are actually statues in all of those places because of dogs and their faithfulness. There's another such tale in the Russian city of Tolyatti about Kostya, whose name means loyal, who waited beside a road for 7 years. There had been an accident there. And the city put a statue there, and newlywed couples will come to this day and rub the statue on the nose as a way of saying, I hope a little bit of his faithfulness rubs off on us. Faithfulness. What a beautiful trait. We see it in dogs and admire it because for humans, well, not always our greatest strength, maybe. And so we doubt in others that which we do not have in ourselves, especially we doubted in God. Because you see, we do betrayal too, as Jesus could tell you. Our scripture touches on all of this. And on this last Sunday before Christmas, it gives us something to hold close, something, better still, someone to remember, to hold close. So let's go there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Here it is, 2 Timothy 2. And again, this is out of our reading, and we're just about done. With our Through the New Testament this year. And we're going to have another reading plan starting in January, soon to be announced. Just don't have it quite yet. We'll get there. So here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, Paul writes, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Remember Jesus Christ. I think we could stop right there. I mean, what reminder do we need more than that? At Christmas, right? How distracted do we get? Put the Amazon order away, right? How we need to remind ourselves. Where would we be without Jesus? Not just personally, right? Where would this world be without Jesus? Oh, sure, we can look at bad examples of the church and Christians, but think about this. Hospitals? Universities, orphanages, so many of them had their origins in the kindness of the Christian faith. Do you know one of the reasons why the early church prospered in Rome, in spite of persecution? One of the Romans' practices was infanticide. If they didn't want a baby, they would simply leave the baby out in the elements and the church would take them in. It is that compassion that says that you and those around you are made in the image of God. And because you are, you matter to him. Now here's a quote from Bertrand Russell, famed philosopher and atheist, about life without God, defined by science alone. Listen to this. Even more purposeless, more void of meaning, is the world which science presents for our belief. That man is the product of causes which had no precision of the end they were achieving. That his origin, his growth, his hopes and fears, his loves and beliefs are but the outcome of accidental collocations of atoms. That no fire, no heroism, no intensity of thought and feeling can preserve an individual life beyond the grave, that all the labors of the ages, all the devotion, all the inspiration, all the noonday brightness of human geniuses are destined to extinction in the vast death of the solar system, buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruins. Now, there's a happy thought. And Russell goes on, atheist, to say that only the courageous could embrace such a thought. But how sad. How sad. And in one sense, it's no wonder so many people lose themselves in despair. Remember the German eugenics experiments? Mensch und Übermensch? A world defined by science collapses under the weight of its own cruelty and hubris. Remember the lockdowns? Even if science could tell you how something exists, it can't tell you why something exists. It can't explain the artistry behind it. Why, in a theory of evolution, do things tend toward or trend toward a higher state of being at all? Why, if you grant a Big Bang theory, does matter exist at all? Where is that before the bang? Where did that come from? God's word provides the answer in such a liberating way, but a challenging way, because it reminds us that we are not God and we are not the end of all things. And I don't know about you, but I was a 2-year-old once, and sometimes I still embrace that philosophy. But God, in his mercy, won't let me go. And as Paul puts it this way, God's word is not chained. You don't have to be anti-science to believe it. You just have to be humble and curious enough to embrace the possibility that there could be something more. Where would we be? Where would we be? Think about it. Where would we be without Jesus? Every other religion, whether it be through five pillars or through cessation of desires, gives us so many ways that you and I must please God. And then maybe there's a chance for us. But Christianity tells us, no, you are loved. Even in your brokenness, you're loved. And you could never save yourself. But God is strong enough and kind enough to meet us in that place and save us, even from ourselves. That's why Paul writes that he endures everything for the sake of all whom God is calling, that they may really know him and live in love with him forever. And by the way, last Sunday, we looked at one of Paul's trustworthy sayings. Here comes another. And we'll be looking at another. I think there are 6 in the New Testament. We're just doing 3 this Christmas. But it's a saying that existed in the church before it came to be written down. And this one is about knowing Jesus. Let's start with verse 11. Let's break it down phrase by phrase. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Well, Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, right? We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean that we save ourselves. It means that we look to him. It means that we acknowledge our own sinfulness. and we're to give ourselves up to God, which seems impossible until we realize that we're actually giving ourselves up to someone who loves us more than we love ourselves. And that's a really good thing. All the candles of Advent, love, peace, hope, joy. Not just that, but the substance behind them. Love more fierce than a mother lion's. Love that sacrifices itself to bring us eternally home. Why would we want to live for ourselves when there's so much more that welcomes us in? It is a choice. That's what verse 12 shows us. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. What does that mean? If we endure, first, we need to keep going, and God will help us. You or I may struggle with a particular sin in our lives, but if we give that over to God, and we have to do it time after time and day after day, he will meet us in that place. And he will give us more of himself. Because the Spirit of God is alive and loves us in ways that he wants to show us day by day. And it's not just preacher's nice words. It's the reality that is intended for you and for me as we live with him each day. It really, that's why we speak of those terms of relationship. So we need to keep going daily and lean into him. And the second part of the verse explains the nature of the relationship more. If we disown him, he will disown us. That word translated disown also means to deny or to reject, essentially to refuse something offered. So the truth is that God will not force us into a relationship with himself. He longs for a relationship with us so much that again, that he'd die for us. But the message that's at the very heart of Christmas is that he comes reaching out to us, beckoning us to himself, if you will. That no one less than the perfect eternal creator would come to us and bend to us. I mean, think about it. Going through every stage of human development, starting as an embryo or a zygote before that. And that's part of the meaning of the last verse, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. It's who he is. God is faithful by nature. Maybe in your life you had someone who wasn't faithful to you. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at a really good lesson about how some people, you know, had a father who wasn't there for them, for example, or who was abusive or any number of things. But the point was made, don't let that be your definition of who God is. Instead, let the definition of the perfect father shape your concept of what a father should be like. And he is faithful. I mean, it's almost hard for us to imagine what that is, right? I mean, that's why we admire it in dogs. Sometimes we look at our dogs and say, oh man, if I could only be, you know. That part of us is broken. But he mends us. And he helps us to be like him and to want to be like him. The word faithless in the original language describes when we are without faith. When our faith falters and we have little or no belief. And I love this part about this because even then, he is faithful. I don't know, maybe this appeals to me so much because I was one of those undergraduate philosophy majors. And I questioned everything, you know, and I had a mom who had a gift of faith, and well, why don't you just believe? It's not that simple. But the truth is, part of it really is. It comes down to that place of the heart. Someone who really does love us like that. When we are faithless, I look at that and I think, when my faith is lacking, you know, when I have my doubts or my questions, he's not going to let me go. He's faithful. And he can't be anything but faithful. That's the beautiful thing about him. So you and I can come to him even with our doubts, even with our fears, with our struggles, with our brokenness, with those places where it's like, why? And understand that he will meet us there with the most beautiful faithfulness. And yes, sometimes we look at circumstances and we have to say, you know, how could God allow this to happen? But wait there for just a moment and go deeper still. Because didn't Jesus cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet Jesus is God himself doing that. Jesus is God being so faithful that he would go to the depths of the questions we would answer or we would ask in our despair and meet us in that very place. And if you go deeper still, you realize that what Jesus is doing in that moment is he's praying. And he's quoting the 22nd Psalm. And the Psalm is one that ends in this strident note of faith about future generations serving him because he has done it. Which sounds a lot like it is finished to me. He remains true because that is who he is. And he watches for us, waits for us, to come closer like a parent on a front porch. But he hasn't just left the light on. He's come to us. He's run to us, right? The very meaning of the parable of the prodigal son. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him God sees you. And was filled with compassion. And he is. And ran to him. And threw his arms around him. And Jesus has done all of that for us to bring us home into the warmth of God's love and light and peace. Let's go to him now. May we pray. Abba, Father, thank you for being so faithful to us. Thank you, Father, that when we are weak, you are strong. When we are faithless, you remain faithful, and you will carry us through our wildernesses. Thank you that you have always been that way and always will be. Help us to believe. Thank you for the wonder of what you have done. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will not turn away." Could this be the morning that you come to him and say to him, "Yes, I receive you. I receive you. And I know I need forgiveness, and I ask you for it through what you did for me at your cross. And I ask that you help me not to live just for myself, but to turn from all of that and to turn to you. And so become the person you always intended me to be. Alive in your love. Yes, I receive you. And I turn from darkness to your light. I turn from sin to your forgiveness. Come into my heart and life through your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. And help me to walk with you. In Jesus' name. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. Let's worship him. angels. You ever seen one? Are you open? Yeah, maybe, right? Talk to my wife. She's seen four. Are you open? Are you open to that possibility? Because that's just the small part. They're messengers. Sent to serve those who will inherit eternal life, Scripture says. Are you open? Are you open to the possibilities? There is so much more. That there is someone who loves you more than life, who welcomes you and me. Are you open? And let it be Christmas. All the way. Let the light shine in the darkness, for the darkness will not overcome it. Jesus, we praise you. Father, Abba, Father. Thank you. Holy Spirit. Yes, lead us. And help us to walk with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Go in peace. And I hope you'll stick around, because, man, it's good out there.